4 Republican state lawmakers announced yesterday that they'll introduce a bill to restrict abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
The GOP lawmakers say the legislation will prevent unborn children from feeling pain. While there's been disagreement over when a fetus can feel pain, the bill defines the 20-week mark as the turning point. Governor Scott Walker has previously said he would sign the bill.
With us now is one of the lawmakers who introduced the bill, Republican State Representative Jesse Kramer of Kewaskum. Representative Kramer, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Mr. Ferret.
So let's start with the details. What would change under this new bill?
Okay. Well, there's some, basically 5 big key points with this bill. First of all, some of the requirements for a doctor. One of the requirements right now, one of the reports that has to go to the Department of Health Services every year is the gestational age. When an abortion is performed, and this bill actually requires the doctors to determine post-fertilization age also. And that date, fertilization date, is typically around 2 weeks after the gestational period. So they also have to report that now. In addition, there are a number of notices that a pregnant woman must be given 24 hours before the abortion is performed. And this bill would actually require an additional oral and written notice to the mother of the numerical odds of survival if that child were to be delivered at the stage in pregnancy. So if the mother is 18 weeks along and she decides she wants an abortion, well, the doctor's going to have to say, well, here's the chances of survival if that baby were to be delivered today. And based on a report that came out just Wednesday in the New York Times, actually, that chance of survival, I mean, they're saying at 22 weeks now with medical intervention, they can actually save these babies. So chance of survival, the numerical odds will be in there also. So additionally, there are no abortions that will be allowed after that 20-week post-fertilization period unless it is a medical emergency as already defined by our state statutes. So the definition for medical emergency in the state statutes is being used in this bill, and that's the one that that would still be allowed. However, if it is a medical emergency and they do have to terminate the pregnancy, they have to do it in a way that would give the baby the best chance of survival. So it's not that you're just going in and just automatically aborting the child and terminating the life. Additionally, there's some language in this bill that addresses a diagnosis for a disabled child, which typically people don't get until later in pregnancy, and also that affects women's health, and that is perinatal hospice. It's something that hasn't been defined in statute before, but there's a requirement now that with this perinatal hospice, the agency would be required to print materials discussing available help that is out there for parents. Basically, if it's determined that the child may, you know, actually have a terminal condition, that from the time on that they decide that this condition is there until the baby is delivered and eventually, you know, may pass away, and even postpartum, that the types of services and things that are available to the parents. So these are some of the key points in this bill relating to pain of unborn children.
So with the 20-week rule in particular, no abortions after 20 weeks except for medical emergency, what's the thinking behind that? What's the goal there?
Basically, I mean, the whole point of this bill is not to ban abortions. The whole point of this bill is that we as a state, it's been determined under Roe v. Wade, we as a state have a compelling interest to protect the life of a child after the point of viability right now. And the point of viability being that the child can survive outside the womb. Well, that doesn't mean that the Supreme Court never said that is the only compelling interest that a state has. What we're looking at here is we have a compelling interest as a state to protect children, unborn children, from horrific, torturous death. And if you can feel pain, it is a horrific experience that this child will be going through. And so that is the point of this bill. It really, right now, 20 weeks is the number that's being used because that's what science has determined when a child can feel pain. However, that's not to say, you know, that's a number that's out there now, but that's not to say, you know, 20 years from now, they're not going to decide, you know, have science out there that says, hey, a kid can feel pain at 16 weeks. So I'm not calling it a 20-week abortion ban bill. I'm calling it the pain-capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which is what they've been doing throughout the country. They've been talking about it because it's only about, all we're looking at is the pain of these children and the fact that we have an interest to protect them from that torture and from that pain.
There is controversy over that pain at 20 weeks idea. Some national medical groups saying no, that isn't true. The research we're looking at says there isn't detectable pain at 20 weeks.
Well, there are two groups out there that have said that, that we have looked at. Journal of American Medicine is one. There's a report that came out in 2005 by five authors. Two of those authors, I'll point out right now, they're pretty subjective articles. The Philadelphia Inquirer pointed out that one of the lead author was previously employed by NARAL, which is a pro-abortion political organization. And the New York Times also reported in 2005 that another one of the authors actually performed abortions and was an abortion doctor. And it wasn't until 2007, a couple years later, after this article was published, that many of the studies to disprove the article were released. There are countless articles out there from other doctors, British Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, Dr. Vivek Glover has talked about it. There's another Dr. Sunny Anand from the Director of Pain and Neurobiology Laboratory, Arkansas Children's Hospital Research Institute. She's discussed this, and they're talking about, I've got other doctors who I can talk about, but some of these are quoting my opinion, and I quote here, "My opinion is based on evidence suggesting that the type of stimulation that will occur during abortion procedures, very likely most fetuses at 20 weeks after conception, will be able to perceive that as painful, unpleasant, noxious stimulation." So there are quite a few doctors out here that absolutely oppose these articles, but these are the only two articles that appear to be coming from the other side right now, and there's been a lot of science done since these articles came out that would actually disprove them.
Talking to Representative Jesse Kramer about new legislation on abortion. A statement from Democratic State Senator Nakia Harris-Dodd of Milwaukee, quoting from a bit of it, "As legislators, we are not in a position to make informed medical choices for others, and this bill intrudes into the rights of Wisconsin individuals to make private decisions affecting their health care and their families." Your response to that, Representative Kramer?
Well, I don't think the child that's being torn apart in the womb and going through this kind of torture has the ability to speak up. So someone needs to speak for them. Obviously, we as a country do not condone torture. We don't even condone torture of prisoners of war. So I don't think we should condone torture of those those children who can't speak for themselves either.
Now, some hesitance, it seems, from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Seems like he may want exceptions for cases of rape and incest in this law to move it forward. Would you make that compromise to advance the law?
Well, I tell you, as a former emergency services dispatcher, I'm a current firefighter and EMT, and now as an elected official, husband and father, I have a duty and an emotional attachment to those who are hurting and in pain. I feel absolutely terrible for a woman who would be involved in one of these heinous crimes. However, that does not take away from the fact that we should have a carve-out that would essentially double down on the awful situation and selectively decide which children should or should not be inhumanely tortured to death by tearing them apart limb from limb. So I guess that would be my response to that.
There's talk that if this passes as signed by the governor, it's likely going to be tied up in courts for a long time, as it has been in some other states. Do you anticipate that?
It's possible. There are actually right now 10 states have signed it as of through 2014. A couple of them are tied up in court. The rest are good to go. So we've been kind of fashioning the legislation after some of these other states and looking at what has gone through court and what has been basically stayed by court or enjoined by court order. And actually the most recent one, a West Virginia bill, just passed in February, so they were the 11th state, and it was a strong bipartisan vote. They actually overrode the Republican governor's veto from last session to get this bill enacted. Two-thirds of the House Democrats voted for it. Most of the Senate Democrats voted for it. So this is not, it is not meant to be a contentious bill. It is about, basically, like I mentioned before, it's about torture and it's about humanity and the fact that we need to be humane and we are a civilized society and we should act as such.
And do you know a timeline before I let you go, Representative Kramer?
Not offhand. I think we're planning on getting it done in fairly short order, probably before the summer. So that's what we're planning right now.
Representative Kramer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ferret.
That was Republican State Representative Jesse Kramer of Kewaskum.